Triplex Cinema in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, celebrates Noirvember this month. And it's this great series called The New Hardboiled, The Birth of American Neo-Noir, a five-film series highlighting defining thrillers of the 1960s and 70s. Now, a lot of those have already taken place. A lot of those films have already taken place. But we have a couple to talk about today, and we're very excited about that and to let you know about the incredible things happening at the Triplex. Screenings take place Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Saturday afternoons at 5, and through November 19th with a special screening of Arthur Penn's Night Moves, followed by a talk back with Penn's son, Emmy-nominated director Matthew Penn, who joins us in the studio this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
It's a pleasure to be here. I am well.
Always well. Always great to have you here, and I'm glad you're well. Thank you very much. Ben Elliott joins us as well, Triplex creative director. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Glad to be here.
Very nice to have you both on the program once again. Always a pleasure. Let us talk about how did this particular series come about?
Well, it's November. And yes, we have wanted to do a Noirvember, which is something that you can kind of see in independent theaters across the country. And we wanted to find our own way to do it. And looking at a possibility, it felt like celebrating these films, neo-noir, this was the right time to do it. I think these films are a reaction to a certain period in American history that we are seeing a lot of echoes of right now. And so getting them back up on the big screen felt like the right time to do these movies.
What went into the choosing of these particular films?
It's so kind of looking at, you know, the classic noir movement is from the 1940s through the end of the 1950s, when you are looking at a lot of, you know, post-war films that are usually black and white and kind of dealing with very, you know, shadow film noir means, you know, dark film. The second generation kind of came about, I would say, after The Good Times ended, after like the Eisenhower, you know, JFK era ended. And then as we got into the Nixon era and the American mood kind of darkened again, you saw filmmakers reacting in a way and making these stories again, looking back to these kind of stories of detectives and of violence and of darker stories. So we looked at that kind of that time. The first one in the series is Point Blank, John Borman's 1967 film. And then I think the last one, you know, chronologically is going to be Night Moves, which will be playing next Wednesday. So we kind of looked at films that really captured the mood of that time, but also different kind of aspects of it. You know, and you know, I think a movie like Point Blank is a fantastic revenge movie, and versus Clute, which is this incredible paranoid detective story, which is such a perfect, you know, it features wiretapping very prominently, which mirrors Nixon era very well. And then, you know, and Night Moves 2, which I think is such a beautiful film, where it kind of, it's not so much that there is some sort of mysterious cabal behind everything, which is kind of a framework in a lot of the other movies, but it really just is kind of this story of people who have been failed by the system, grifting and trying to like find a way to survive when the system has let them down. So it was just kind of looking for different themes to highlight in that era of neo-noir, and what we just thought would make a good tight series.
The films Point Blank, Clute, and The Long Goodbye have been shown. Chinatown will be shown on the 15th. It was shown last night as well. Yeah. I mean, that's a classic, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, just a story of corruption. I'm trying not to give too much away in case in the last 50 years someone hasn't seen Chinatown, but just
keep
in case.
The secrets,
it has such an impactful ending that I don't, if you are seeing it fresh, please come. It's fantastic, but it's a story of corruption, of government and public resources being corrupted by a, you know, the elite class. All of these stories, I think, really, you know, even Chinatown, which is a period piece from the 70s, but like it's all still feels incredibly modern. Like there's so many themes that we might have felt have faded away after this period of filmmaking, but I think really didn't, and we're really seeing them come back. So I think there's so much that these films say about the modern moment, and there's cynicism. Sometimes there's hope. It's usually mostly cynicism, but I think it's kind of looking at these films, looking at the way that people responded to other dark moments, you know, kind of in the national timeline, and really how we responded is kind of what I hope people take away from the series.
The final film to be shown on November 19th is Night Moves, Arthur Penn's classic mystery about a private detective played by Gene Hackman, searching for a missing girl in the moral swamp of 1970s of Florida. Matthew Penn, what was your tell us about sort of your relationship to this film coming in, of what it is has meant to you?
Well, just to go back, you know, it really came out of Dad's experience from the mid-60s to the mid-70s. He'd been asked by the Kennedy campaign, John F. Kennedy, to advise on the debates with Nixon, which he did. He was then asked by the Robert Kennedy campaign to direct some spots with RFK as soon as he would get back from California, which sadly he never did. The assassinations of those two men with Martin Luther King, Vietnam War, and Watergate left him in a kind of early 70s. He was in, by his own testimony, in a kind of depression, a kind of cultural depression. And he took some time off and searched for, among other things, what would be next in his career and to spend some time with his family. And he found this screenplay. And since he was coming off of three films that had a kind of cultural sensibility, and Bonnie and Clyde was the Depression, Alice's Restaurant was an anti-Vietnam War film, and Little Big Man was a film really about genocide and the Native Americans. He was looking to figure out, how do I talk about this recent time in America that was sort of this kind of odd moral car crash? And it was then that he found the script of Night Moves, and he started to work with Alan Sharp pretty closely on the screenplay, and obviously went to Hackman, who he'd worked with on Bonnie and Clyde, and hatched a very dark, unusual noir film. He had loved the Sam Spade, Philip Marlowe films, as we all did. But he thought, how do I do something different? How do I go to that genre but do something different? And one of the things that I think makes Night Moves so unusual is that the investigation is not just with the case, in this case, a missing persons, Deli, played by Melanie Griffith. The investigation is really within the investigator, played by Gene Hackman. And that's one of the odd twists on the genre that makes, I think, the film so interesting, you know?
What was it about the... as this was going on, you're about how old when this is?
I guess about 16, 17. I worked with Dad on two pictures, Missouri Breaks and Four Friends, but I didn't work on... My memory of this is going down to visit him at Thanksgiving and having a Thanksgiving dinner with Tippi Hedren and Melanie Griffith, which was very strange. But
it sounds
strange. Yeah, no, yeah. It was. But my experience of this film was really in talking to him as he worked on it, as he developed the screenplay. And as I knew his editor, Dee Dee Allen, well, and I would spend a little time in the editing room with them and saw it really kind of come together, take shape.
What was the we lost Gene Hackman this year, of course, and I'm interested in what that your father worked with him quite a bit of what that was like, and he had been so reclusive in his later years that many may not remember just when he was at his peak of his
fame and power.
Yeah, he made three pictures with Hackman. He made Bonnie and Clyde. He made Night Moves. And he made a film called Target with Matt Dillon and Gene Hackman. Strangely, where he met Gene Hackman was Berkshire Theater Festival.
Really?
That is where they met, in Stockbridge. And Dad looked at him and thought, you know, I have a film going in the fall that I think you might be good for. Hackman was very reclusive and hard to know. But he trusted Dad, and they had clearly a language that was theirs. Otherwise, Hackman doesn't return for film number two and film number three. But this, if you've never seen Night Moves, Hackman gives an extraordinary, subtle, dark, interesting performance. So if you've never seen it and you love Gene Hackman, go see Night Moves.
As far as it fitting into the series, I mean, it seems like a perfect way to cap it all off.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were lucky. I mean, we've been doing a retrospective of films from 1975 all year and kind of incorporating different ones into different series we've done at the theater. And so we wanted to do a noir series, and making Night Moves a part of this just seemed like a natural fit. It's the 50th anniversary of it this year.
You will be doing a talk back with, following the showing of the film on the 19th. Do you enjoy those?
I do. I enjoy hearing what the audience absorbed 50 years later. I enjoy, you know, there are times I say, I don't know. But there are many times where I do obviously
have.
There's
times I say, what are you asking?
Yeah. But there are many times where I do have sort of information, anecdotal, from my experience in talking to Dad, both during the making, after, and also his perspective on the film as he got to be an older director and looked back at the canon of his work. You really do have a special sense of Night Moves looks like it's being painted on a very small canvas. But what's interesting is that he really opens it up to being a very big, deep picture. It looks like the case is solved halfway through the movie. You think, okay, now what? But of course, it opens up yet another mystery that Hackman's character has to investigate. And so the film is an unusual sort of detective piece, which we love. We love the voyeurism of it. You know, we love looking in at lives that are hidden. But he loved the twist of, as I said, of solving the case somewhere in the middle, and then, boom, another case opens up. So I love the talkbacks. I mean, I really enjoy them. I enjoy hearing what's on people's minds. And I enjoy sharing, you know, what I know of that time with Dad and of his experience in working on the picture. I do want to say this. The Triplex is up to something very special. We're about to reopen our fourth screen. Going to the movies is so important. I mean, not only do you come on the 19th, but come to the Triplex. It's an extraordinary, extraordinary theater.
It's a beautiful place. We broadcast from there. It's so special. And but doing things like this is what you can't stream, what you can't, you know, see on your phone, what you can't download in your cable system. This is going and seeing classic films or new films that aren't available, and that communal sense, and in this case, having someone with a great story to tell, those opportunities are obviously priceless.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a core part of our mission at the Triplex, that the sense of community that's fostered by actually watching these films together is you can't get that at home. I think that's something that people have really kind of, we've lost in the age of streaming, and we are trying to build back. And I think events like this, where we get to actually really have a conversation about the film that you just saw and really dig into it, gives it a texture that you wouldn't get watching alone.
I realized this just since, I don't know, maybe 6-7 months ago, In the last 6-7 months. I've seen maybe 10 films at a cinema, but all of them were older films, which is interesting. I mean, I think that's a different thing. Like, I've wanted to see, like, I want to see Jaws on a big screen on the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, which we did. I went and it's, that's my favorite movie of all time. I was so excited to get to see it on the big screen again. And it's, I remember when I first got, you know, Jaws is something I've seen at least over 50 times in my life. But the first time I actually got to see it on a big screen was at the Music Box Theater in Chicago. Packed house, 4th of July. And it just it becomes a core memory in a way that watching it at home never was, of being with 800 other people who love the movie just as much as I do, yelling and screaming in joy as you reach the climax of the film. It's just like that's something that stays with you. Like there's a texture, there's an experience of that that brings film alive. And I really, that's what we're trying to cultivate at the Triplex, of doing these kind of events, of celebrating the history of film. And I think there's so many connections between these classic films and the films that are coming out today, and kind of having the conversations where you see those connections and understand the way that film is a language that is always in conversation with the past.
This was alluded to just a moment ago, and I think it's interesting because I wasn't aware of it until I read an article about it just a few weeks ago, but Matthew brought it up, of the fourth screen. I didn't even know that had been – so that was closed when –
when we took over. So the theater closed for the summer of 2023 before our group, Triplex Cinema Inc., took it over, and we reopened in November of that year. We had to do some repairs on the building, which meant tearing down the two largest theaters down to the studs, essentially. We were able to bring Theater One, our largest screen, back in kind of a half-finished form. There's still some work to do there. But Theater Two has been sitting essentially as an empty shell. That's just, it's been a screen in a concrete room, essentially. and it's heartbreaking, too, because, you know, it's the second biggest screen. But it's so exciting that we're finally a few weeks away from opening Theater Two. And not only bringing it back, but bringing it back as the proof of concept of what we want to do with all of the theaters eventually. So this is new seats, a new screen, expanded sound system, just the top of the line. Because I think that's the other thing, too, that there's the community aspect. But I think, you know, we were talking about this on the way up here, of just the way that when you watch things at home, you have your phone, you have children, dogs, just the world, the lights on around you, kind of impeding. And so it's like you can watch a movie at home and think, it wasn't that good. Versus if you were actually in a darkened theater, seeing it the way it was meant to be seen, it impacts you in a completely different way.
Fully immersive.
Exactly.
I mean, you're there and you're focused on that.
Yes.
That whole thing.
Yes.
I was at a gathering where Tom Hanks was speaking. And he was talking about exactly that, which is the difference between watching a film at home, scrolling through your phone, going to the refrigerator, coming back, looking around, taking a phone call, versus making a date to go to the movies, whether you're meeting somebody else or yourself, and experiencing that film the way that it's intended to be. Imagine if I said to all of you, I'm closing all the museums in America, but don't worry. You can see any painting you want on your phone or your computer. It'll be just as good. That's not the experience. The experience of going to a museum is extraordinary and essential and human. And that's the experience of going to a movie to see it as it's intended to be seen. And that's what, I mean, a not-for-profit, community-run theater really means. It's owned by all of us. It's owned by all of us.
Owned by all of us, and it has to be supported by all of us.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
And that's the important part, to make sure that it's its longevity is there.
And I will use this as a segue to plug our membership program as a way to help us
sustainably.
We have a Triplex membership program. It's a fantastic way. You get discounted tickets, free popcorns, free tickets. We're doing a screening of The Sting tonight that our members voted on as like their choice of a member screening that they get to see for free. So we do fun things like that. But it's also, as you all know, members are what make organizations like this.
We are thrilled of what's going on at the Triplex in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. It's Noirvember. Chinatown running on the 15th. Night Moves on the 19th with Matthew Penn doing a talk back for the film that his father directed, Arthur Penn's classic mystery. And that on the 19th. You can find information by going to thetriplex.org, thetriplex.org. Matthew and Ben, thank you very much. It's a delight, as always, to talk to you.
A pleasure, Joe.
Be well. Thank you very much. We'll be back after this.